Let's start with jobs and a catchily named mid-year economic and fiscal outlook. Danielle Wood runs the Grattan Institute and she joins me now. Danielle, welcome back to The Money. What's the main takeaway from the MyEFO?
Look, I think the main takeaway is that it's a pretty good news story for the government, and no doubt they wanted to make sure that that came out before the end of the year. I mean, it suggests that the recovery is progressing pretty strongly. That's translated into a nice windfall in terms of tax revenues. Some of that's going to do things like go to the cost of the NDIS, which is growing faster than anticipated. And some of it looks like it's squirreled away to a bit of pre-election spending.
Yes. Well, of course, we've been very conscious in the last few days of the amount of spending that's gone in particular coalition seats, and a significant, several billion dollars are available for the government to do what it wants in the run-up to the election. But what is clear is that there's only a $7 billion improvement in the deficit. So despite the extra money flowing into the coffers, it's actually only a small improvement in our position when it comes to debt.
That's right. So rather than investing that additional revenue and a little bit of lower payments to sort of reduce the budget deficit, instead, as I said, they're sort of picking up those NDIS costs and squirreling some away for these decisions that they've taken but not yet announced.
What does it have to say about inflation?
So the inflation outlook remains pretty benign. It's certainly going to go up from where it is, getting closer to the Reserve Bank's top of the Reserve Bank's band at 2.75%. Then it's forecast to just kind of bubble along at about 2.5%. So it looks like the Treasury forecasters, and this is pretty consistent with the Reserve Bank as well, are not particularly worried about an inflation breakout here, as we've seen, say, in the United States, where they've got their inflation rate running at 6.8%.
It does seem different, but with wages growth still very low for most people, I'm wondering how many will be kind of effectively going backwards.
Well, that's right. When you look at real wages growth, so adjusting for inflation, people are expected to actually go backwards this year on those numbers on average, and then have sort of low real wages growth in the 3 years after that. So certainly not shooting the lights out in terms of improvements in people's real standard of living over the next few years.
MyEFO also forecasts an improvement in the employment rate to 4.5% this financial year. We're nearly there now, actually.
That's right. I mean, today's jobs market figures were very, very healthy. Unemployment down to 4.6%. So certainly that 4.5% looks very attainable. Then the government, the forecast suggests that it might go lower still, so down to 4.25% and stay there. And that would be an extraordinary set of numbers, really. I think the Treasurer said would be the kind of longest sustainable period of unemployment in the fours since the 1970s. So that it looks healthy in terms of the employment outcomes, if, less so in terms of the overall wages growth.
Yeah. So now the theory is this, and we've talked about this before, I think, Danielle, at some point unemployment gets so low that it starts to drive wages upward. Do we yet have an indication of A, what that point might be, or B, whether it will happen at all?
Well, we certainly know that it is lower than what we thought it was in the pre-COVID world, when the Reserve Bank used to think it was around 5% before you'd start to see wages growing. It certainly looks like it needs to be kind of low fours before you get anything that looks even remotely like decent wages growth, and it may well have to be high threes. The challenge is you don't really know until you're there. So there have been changes in the labour market, which looks like it means you need lower unemployment to get wages growing. I think the Reserve Bank Governor and the Treasurer are quite wisely wanting to keep that labour market running strongly to try and get wages growth. So we're not seeing the Reserve Bank talk about, increasing the cash rate anytime soon. We're not seeing the Treasurer kind of flicking the switch to austerity. They want the economy to be running strongly and labour markets to be running well, to try and get to the point where we can actually see wages growing again.
You mentioned the RBA Governor. Of course, Philip Lowe gave a speech today. I think he was in the Riverina. Anything important that came out of that?
Look, he was pretty sanguine on the inflation outlook, just as the Treasury forecasters are. So I think that's important. And he was really making the point that we are different to the US and Europe. We don't have the same wages pressure that's evident. We don't have some of the same issues in terms of energy markets that they're going through there. He also talked about the winding down of the bond purchase program, which has been another thing helping support the economy during the COVID lockdown. So it's quite clear now that they are planning to phase that out over the next 6 months or so. They're just waiting for a bit more economic data before they work out kind of how fast they taper that off. The other interesting point I think he made was around house prices. Obviously, the decline in interest rates has seen demand for housing surge over the past couple of years, and we're now seeing very strong price growth. He was making the point that, you know, it wouldn't be appropriate for the RBA to be targeting house price growth with monetary policy. If they did that, you know, the outcome would be a weaker economy and fewer people in work. But he does say that some policy measures should be actually trying to tackle that problem of housing affordability, and we should be looking at other things on the demand and supply side to try and bring prices down somewhat or slow that growth somewhat.
I think that's a point that he's made before, in fact, that this is more or less not our problem. It has to happen some other way. Danielle, thank you very much for joining us, and have a good break if you're going to get one.
Fantastic, I will, and you too, Richard.
Danielle Wood is the Chief Executive at the Grattan Institute.